This is Near FM
90.3.
But first this morning, I'm delighted to be joined in the studio by Georgina Melotti. Did I get it right, Georgina?
You did, yeah. It's Mellet, as they like to call it.
Yes, yes.
It's a Mayo name.
Now, Georgina is the community food and nutrition worker with the Northside Partnership. Lovely to have you in the studio, Georgina. It's lovely, actually, when people go through trouble coming in.
Well, I appreciate
that not everybody can do that. But it's great to have people back in studios again.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose there's several questions I could ask you, but healthy eating and nutrition, I mean, I suppose, why is there even a position for you to doing that work? You would think that people should know, if you want to live healthy, you eat healthy.
Yeah, well, my role was implemented by the HSE, so we're funded by the HSE, and then we're employed by local organisations, local partnerships, and I suppose our roles were implemented approximately 2 years ago in response to, I suppose, a needs assessment. So all across the island of Ireland, there's 19 community food and nutrition workers in the 19 Sláinte Care healthy community areas. The main purpose of our roles was to, I suppose, address food insecurity in our areas, to promote healthier eating habits within our communities, and create and improve the food environment within the communities. So I've been working in the Northside Partnership now so for a year and a half. And since coming into post, I think the role is definitely something that's been really beneficial to the community. Healthy eating is, I think, something that everyone knows. Well, everyone thinks that they know about, but it's always something that we can learn and skills to develop. And sometimes I think a lot of people don't get the opportunity to get the nutrition knowledge that I think everyone has the right to learn about from a young age.
Yeah, and I suppose the other thing with that, Georgina, too, and it's something that we should bear in mind, if you can get into the schools and get people young or at a younger age, you're giving them a better chance in life, because, you know, if you kind of loll along, if you understand the phrase, until you're into your mid-teens, 14, 15, 16, it's kind of the way you're going to go through life.
So I suppose going into schools and building those habits from a young age is something that's really important. If you go into schools and you're developing habits from an early age, it's much easier to carry them through your life with them. So even, I suppose, for health and wellbeing week in schools, myself and one of my other colleagues have gone into schools and done parent and child cooking workshops, you know, to develop the nutrition habits from a young age, but also to develop relationships between parents and children, because parents often learn from the habits of their children. So it's really important as well to get the parents involved, because parents will see kind of the habits that their parents are creating and will kind of, I suppose, develop those habits as well.
Now, something you mentioned, and we'll come back to that in a moment, Georgina, but something you mentioned, and I have spoken to various people, including Social Justice Ireland, on this, and that is the question of, or the issue, I suppose, of food security.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that may sound like a very panicky phrase, but it is pretty important, isn't it?
Yeah, food insecurity is something really important, and I suppose one of the reasons why our roles are implemented. It really, a lot of it is, I suppose, fundamentally to do with kind of access and affordability of food, and those have really important, I suppose they're really important in terms of creating those healthier eating habits. Access to fresh, affordable and nutritious food makes it much easier for people to eat healthy. If there's no access to the fresh, affordable and nutritious food, it's a barrier to healthy eating. So it's really about kind of the underlying social determinants. So even access to groceries and making them affordable. I think that's kind of the key issue, and one of the biggest barriers when people discuss healthy eating.
Yeah, it's all very, very well and fine, I suppose, to sit here and be seen to be sort of talking about highfalutin healthy eating and healthy food and all that. But it means very little to people who can't afford the product.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other thing is, and I hope you understand my use of the English, but would you be described maybe as a one-stop shop, if you'll pardon the pun, where, you know, you show people how to get the food, but that's only part of it. The other part of it then is cooking it and getting the best, cooking it in such a way that it provides you with the best nutrition, I suppose.
So we have myself and two community food and nutrition workers in Dublin Northwest Partnership have created a workshop series called Healthy Eating for All. So it's kind of developed in nutrition across the life cycle. So we have four target groups: older adults, Study Smart, Eat Smart, which is for students. We have Cooking for Me, which is cooking for individuals living on their own. And we also have Cooking for Families. So we have four different 90-minute workshops, but in those workshops, you will learn nutrition, kind of the basics of nutrition, nutrition knowledge, but we also do a recipe in. So you're also kind of learning the skills that you can implement into your everyday routine as well. So we would go through kind of a basic recipe in each of our nutrition workshops. So you do get kind of a full rounded approach when we're doing those workshops.
Just something came to mind while you were talking there, and this is going to sound like a real stupid question, but anybody who knows me will know that there's nobody better at asking them. Are there certain foods, no matter how nutritious they are, that you should eat at certain times of the day, but that you shouldn't eat at other times of the day?
I think there's a lot of kind of misunderstood knowledge around food. I suppose we promote kind of like your balanced
eating. What I'm coming at is we hear regularly of the Americans now. Don't look, anybody who knows the Americans will know when it comes to eating, there probably wouldn't be the template you should adopt. But this thing of steak and eggs for the breakfast, like this type of thing, you know?
So I suppose the food pyramid and the healthy eating guidelines are the basis of a healthy diet, and its shape is designed as we should eat the most from the bottom of the food pyramid and the least from the top of the food pyramid. But if you're following that, the healthy eating guidelines and your food pyramid, it doesn't really matter the time of the day that you're eating those things. But steak and eggs for breakfast is something I haven't heard of before.
I am not, by the way, encouraging steak and eggs for the breakfast. Other foods are available. I suppose another thing, and it's a question that we in the media are going to have to start asking more and more people, because there's all sorts of conspiracy theories and everything out there at the moment by every sort of nut job. But who's funding you?
So the HSE, we're funded by the HSE, the Health and Wellbeing Department in the HSE, and then we're employed by local organisations, so that we're kind of on the ground within the community, so we can get to the hard to reach groups.
Now, that's a very interesting thing, Georgina, and this is going to be a terribly unfair question to ask you, and I'm good at that too. But as a group of people, I'm not saying you specifically, no, but as a group of people, how long has food and nutrition workers, how long have they been working within these community groups?
This is a really new post. So we've only been in post. The post was only developed maybe 2 years ago, so it's still really new. So we do have Healthy Food Made Easy coordinators, which would implement kind of our 6-week Healthy Food Made Easy courses. And then within the HSE, there's dietitians that are working in the community as well. So dietitians would have been working within the community for a number of years, but this is the first time that there's been a nutritionist post within the community. So it's a very novel job, but also one that has really been beneficial for the community, I think.
Yeah, and the reason, just to put you at ease, and that I asked that question is, if it's only that short space of time in existence, and when we take it that it's been funded by the HSE, excuse me, obviously somebody in the HSE saw this as a vehicle to get people eating healthier, mm-hmm. which would have more beneficial effects on their health, thus reducing the pressure on the HSE. And the reason that I did ask you that question is I was just wondering, is it long enough in existence for studies to have been produced to see the benefits of it? That's really the question.
Yeah, I don't think it's been in long enough.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought
so.
Not for 2 years, no. And again, going back to that, I mean, yeah, there's a simple question now. Give me 5 benefits of healthy eating.
Well, I suppose there's. I could go on all day about the benefits.
Yeah, there should be obvious, but just give us the top 5.
So I suppose benefits of healthy eating: improved health, reduced mortality, decreased risks of cancer, heart disease. We've got improved well-being, and then just, I suppose, healthy eating within your family, like improved family connections and things when you're cooking with your child. It's a really nice way to build those relationships as well. So I think I could go on all day about that.
Yeah, and I suppose another one, which is, I suppose, should be kind of obvious to people listening this morning, is, I suppose, sort of increased energy levels. You wouldn't feel as lethargic, and then you're able to do more, again, as you say, within the home and within the family. I suppose you're talking about courses there for, and you're the 4 different categories, and there's a fabulous, by the way, if you want to go onto the Northside Partnership website, there's a fabulous leaflet, Nourish the Northside, or Nourish Northside, and a lot of the details are in that. But we'll say, for argument's sake, for people listening this morning who actually want to attend these courses, how do they do it?
Yeah, so if they go onto the Northside Partnership website, there's links up there for 2 Eventbrites. We're running 2 workshops in April. One is on the 9th of April and one is on the 23rd of April. So the one on the 9th of April is on healthy aging. So it will be for adults over the age of 65. And then the one on the 23rd is cooking for me. So that would be people living on their own.
Do you find, and it's just something that came to mind again when you mentioned that particular cohort, that people of an age, let us say, who are living on their own, they're less likely to probably follow a program like that, that they're more likely to eat when they're hungry and whatever is quick and handy and near to hand.
We do find that in that kind of in the cohort, but I think it's really important, I suppose, within our workshops, I suppose we give people tips and ideas and kind of let them know the importance of having their 3 meals every day and keeping themselves well nourished, especially as we age. And I suppose one of our mottos we like to say is cook once, cook twice, eat once. So they're cook once, eat twice, even, should I say. So when you make that effort to do your cooking, make enough for 2 days so that you have enough to keep you full for your 2 days. So when you do have that motivation to cook, make the most of it.
Yeah, and again, I suppose on a slight tangent from that, it is very, very important to point out that if you eat properly and if you eat hot meal, particularly this time of year, and during the winter months, it actually helps your body to stay warm as well, because when you're cold, you're hungry.
Yeah. Yeah, so it definitely, like, having our three nourishing meals a day, especially as we age, is really important for health, overall health and well-being. And like following our health eating guidelines for adults, there's specific health eating guidelines for adults over the age of 65, which can be found on the HSE website.
Georgina, somebody who's going out shopping this afternoon, and of course there'll be nobody going shopping while I'm on air until 1 o'clock, they'll all be listening attentively to the radio, but to read, when you pick up something in the supermarket, does your course, and this is going to sound so stupid, but it'll make perfect sense, honest to God, trust me, stay with me on this one, friends, does your course teach people to read the packaging on the product they're buying?
Yeah, so our courses would also include how to read labels, because I suppose that's a real barrier as well for people. A lot of these labels are really hard to understand, and that's something that we're taught in college, but of course we've studied for 4 years to learn how to read labels, so it's something really complex, but something that we will kind of divulge into in one of our courses. So there's a really easy kind of card as well that can be found on the Irish Heart Foundation website. And it's a nutrition card, and it goes through kind of the traffic light system. So on the traffic light system, you'll be able to find foods that have kind of their high, low, or medium kind of sugar, fat, and salt content. So those are the really key nutrients that you're looking for on your labels. But this card makes it a really accessible tool to be able to read those labels when you're going shopping.
Long before your time, and I'm actually delighted that people are engaging with our conversation this morning, Georgina, because I have a text message here from a listener who says, "Hi Donny, remember back in the 50s and 60s? Well, I remember the latter end of the 60s. I certainly don't remember the 50s, but anyway, we only had food that was in season." Now that's a very important thing. We'll come to that in a moment. And most of us were doing manual labouring jobs. No need to be going to the gyms, while our meals were not enough to sustain us, but we were much better off. Now, we didn't seem to have as many, and thank you very much for that text, we didn't seem to have as many ailments, but I suppose the counter claim on that one is life expectancy has increased dramatically over the last 50 years. There's no point in saying one thing and thinking another. So that brings its own problems as well. And this is where the healthy eating at an earlier stage benefits you later in life. But talk to me about that. Eating, particularly vegetables, that's in season, because it seems to me, irrespective of what your vegetable of choice is, you can get it all year round now.
Yeah, I suppose the main kind of benefit of eating vegetables, fruits and vegetables in season, is that they're in season, so they're less likely to go off as quickly as in other months. I suppose that's related to food waste, and food waste is also a big issue, but in terms of food waste, picking fruits and vegetables in season is really important. It goes off less, but also I suppose eating, you can eat like frozen fruits and veg as well, and will provide you with the same kind of nutritional value as your fresh fruit and vegetables. But we do tend to say, if you're making the effort to buy your fresh fruit and vegetables, to eat them, pick ones that are in season. Just in terms of food waste, your fruits and vegetables are less likely to go off as quickly. So you can find a seasonal calendar on places like stopfoodwaste.ie. And that's how you'll know which vegetables and fruits are in season.
And to go back to a point and to extrapolate it from our texter, and again, thank you so much for engaging with the conversation this morning with Georgina and myself. But I remember, I was born in 62, so I suppose 66, 67 on, I start remembering things, if you know what I mean. But we definitely did not have the array of foods available. I mean, it was bacon that came from the pig that was reared on the neighbour's farm. You know, knew where your beef came from. Your mother made the brown bread and the white bread and the apple tarts. the milk came directly from the cow. You know what I mean? That we lived in a time where the food was probably fresher,
mm-hmm.
and certainly, most definitely, less processed.
There's a lot of, I suppose, processing and things has developed. And so along with that has come a lot of these new foods that weren't originally back a number of years ago. But I think it's really important. I think if you're following, I suppose, your healthy eating guidelines and your food pyramid, at the bottom is your fresh fruit and vegetables and your whole grain cereals, your protein-based food. So at the basis of the food pyramid is definitely those key foods that weren't necessarily here hundreds and thousands of years ago, but I think balance is really important as well. And I don't think it's fair to say that no one's ever going to eat something really processed again, because I suppose it's the day and age that we live in, and developments have come. But I suppose it's looking at the overall quality of your diet, and if you are following that food pyramid and your healthy eating guidelines, I think if your diet is predominantly based off that, you will get all the health benefits that you do need.
Georgina, where can people find out more and tell me about these courses again, please? Because I know there's a lot of people listening to us this morning who probably pricked their interest, because they may enjoy a certain food for, mm-hmm. for their meal. And maybe they could enjoy it more if they cooked it maybe slightly differently. So, I mean, I think these are very, very important courses, and I think everybody should be aware of it. So tell us about them, how people can find out more, how they can attend.
So our courses, you can find more information about them on the Northside Partnership website. There'll be a link to register through an Eventbrite page, and the dates and the details will be on there. So again, we have two running in April, one on the 9th of April and one on the 23rd of April, one for adult age over 65 and one for people living on their own who might struggle to kind of cook for one. It's kind of how ideas on how to cook for one, and it's meals and recipes and nutrition for people living on their own. So that's all able to be found on the Northside Partnership website, or you can contact myself on the Northside Partnership website.
Georgina Mellis, community food and nutrition worker with the Northside Partnership. Georgina, fascinating, interesting, and stimulating are understatements for what the last 20 minutes, 25 minutes was about. Before you go, and before we leave this, as always, I want to acknowledge Sarah Classy and the tremendous work she does continue to do in the Northside Partnership, organising this for us every Monday morning. Sarah, you can have next Monday off. tell him I said that. Georgina, listen, thank you so much for coming in this morning, for being so articulate, and for the work you're doing, because you and your colleagues are definitely helping people. You're doing everything you can to keep them healthier, and healthier means happier. So, well, fair play to you for what you're doing for the community.
Thank you very much for having me.
Now then, my friends, that was Georgina Mellet from the Community Food and Nutrition team with the Northside Partnership.
This is Near FM
90.3.